been going through a series on the Holy Spirit, and it's good to get to know the Holy Spirit because Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you as a counselor and to lead you and guide you into all truth. And he reveals things to us. He knows us. He knows God. He knows God's plan for us. So he's a really great person to get to know and to listen to. So today, Danny Ferguson is going to come and share with us, focusing on the gift of the Holy Spirit and prophecy.
Thank you. It's we're just going ahead and get started because I'm not sure how long this is going to take. We may be a little longer. We may be a little shorter. I don't know. So there's some things that I believe the Holy Spirit's rolling around in my head that I haven't quite got a lot of clarity on the end yet, but there's about three or four options. So we'll see what the Lord decides he wants to do. So the Holy Spirit and prophecy. Oh, what? Ah, okay, gotcha. They've changed things on me. So we want to take a look at the scriptures. There are going to be a lot of scriptures today based on the Holy Spirit and prophecy. And this is exactly a little bit of what Pastor was talking about in the beginning, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is in Acts 2, 14 through 18, and I started at 14. The story starts before this. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So what's the setup here is the fact that this is, if you remember, Jesus said, go back to Jerusalem and wait. And wait. And wait. And I'm not sure they knew what they were waiting for. But the Holy Spirit came, tongues of fire, and this is exactly what is being referred to in this scripture, the coming of the Holy Spirit that now floods the entire earth. Brand new event. The Holy Spirit was never present in the Old Testament like he is today. And so the Holy Spirit fills the earth. Verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon you before you were saved? Right? It doesn't say you had to be saved. And he's present everywhere. And it's something we're not always aware of. And I'm going to take this a little bit deeper. He's present in every bad situation you face. He's present in every sin you ever committed. And we don't like to think about that, but that is exactly true. He is everywhere. He is present with us all the time. Okay? That I will pour my Spirit out on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And my men servant and maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So twice in that quote from the prophet Joel is the word shall prophesy. So it's not something that is, should be strange, difficult, weird. This is the presence of the Holy Spirit to bring about prophecy. And we're going to talk about that in the other scriptures here. Now concerning spiritual gifts, we're going to take a look at this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So it's a place where the Spirit of God says, hey, look, I want you to know about these things. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to not know. I don't want you to not understand. We need to be understanding about the Spirit of God, about the Holy Spirit and the way that he works, how he works, and why he works the way he does. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Do you ever stop to think about what does manifestation of the Spirit really mean in really simple terms? For me, that simple term is the Spirit comes to make known the love of God. It's a manifestation, a way that God reveals himself in his love to each and every one of us. A manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's given to who? All. Each one. Everyone has the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life, whether you realize it or not. For what reason? Not just my benefit, for your benefit. The presence of the Holy Spirit, yes, is my guide. He's my comforter. He's everything the Scripture says, my counselor, all of that for me. But the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life is also for you. So you can profit. So you can come to a place of understanding who you are in Christ, can come to an understanding of why you're here, to come to an understanding of what he wants to transform you into. And he does that through each of us in relationship with another person. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, the gift of prophecy. So it is something that is given. All of these that were listed here are given. You do not earn them. You cannot earn them. It is given. And that causes some issues with us, really. Because we'll look at somebody who we think their life is not quite in order, and all of a sudden healing occurs through them, or prophecy occurs through them, or one of these other gifts flows through them, and we look at them and say, wait a minute. They're not behaving like they should for this to happen. It's not based on you. Absolutely not based on you or your behavior. Now, hear me. Behavior is important, but it has nothing to do with receiving the love and gifting of God. Nothing. Okay? To another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one as he wills. As he wills. It's his choice, not my choice. Believe me, I have tried to walk in some of those gifts up there, and it did not work. Didn't work, Mike. Nothing, okay? But it did work in other areas of those gifts, all right? I have a gift of prophecy. It works. I didn't ask for it. I don't know that I really wanted it. It just happened. Okay, there's a whole different story to that I don't have time to tell. But it is an ability to tap into the Holy Spirit and let him reveal to you which one of those you have. Because every person in this room has at least one of them. That's what the Scripture says. That's not what I'm saying. That's what the Scripture says. We have a choice to either allow God to reveal that to us, and there are many ways that can happen, and allow that to begin to flow in our life, or to say, no, I don't want any part of that. It's a choice. And I want to say this. It will not change how much he loves you. If you say, I don't want any part of that. It will not change that. This is my opinion. I don't believe you will walk into the fullness of who God has created you to be if you say no. But it won't change his love for you. It will not change his love for you. First Corinthians 14:1. Oh, there it is again. Desire spiritual gifts. We have a scripture here that says, you, me, everyone that is saved needs to desire a spiritual gift. One of those nine, and believe me, they list nine there, but when you go through the scriptures, there's much more than those nine. Okay? Much more than those nine. But we need to have a desire for what God has given to us spiritually. What he's given to us that we can be a benefit to our brothers and sisters in Christ. But especially that you may prophesy. I don't think I want to tackle that one yet. I want to go through a few more scriptures. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort. Now, I don't understand this. I think I understand why. But there is the Spirit of God that says you should have a desire to earnestly prophesy. And the King James translated that as covet to prophesy. My take on it is that the Word of God that is purely from Him has power. Incredible power to change lives. This has been 10 years ago, probably at least. On a Friday night, I ministered to a woman in one of our prophetic rooms. What came out of my mouth was, and the Lord would desire that you write a book. And when she heard that, I saw her face, and it's like, ooh, okay. Not sure how well that went over. Okay. And I told her, I talked to her a little bit after. I said, hey, look, that word, I believe it was the Lord, but you do what you want to do with it. Or you want to set it on the shelf, set it on the shelf. If you want to take it and say, God, work it, that's fine. Whatever you want to do with it. He's okay with that. It was about a year later. She came back on a Friday night. She says, I need to talk to you, and I want to give you something. And she handed me the book that she had wrote. God's word has power. I didn't ask her about the story, and I probably should have, how that came about. How God worked that within her life. But the prophetic word will plant a seed deep within your spirit about you, anything about your life that he wants to touch, anything that he wants you to do, it will speak to that. And if you will receive that with the proper attitude, knowing how to walk it out, it will change your life. And the reason for prophecy, edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Edification means to build up, to strengthen, to promote one's growth. So that's one of the purposes of the prophetic word. To build you up in your faith, to build you up in who God has made you to be, okay? To strengthen that, and to help you grow into it. Exhortation is to encourage, to come alongside, to call God to one's side. So an exhortation is to really speak into you the way God is with you in whatever the situation is. To bring in an exhortation and encouragement. Hey, God is in this. Whatever situation you're in, God is here. He's working for your good. And all things are going to be that way. Comfort, to reassure, to cheer up, to console. That's the purpose of comfort. In fact, last Friday night, we were in the prophetic room, and when I walked in, and there was a woman sitting here, and for some reason my attention was drawn to her, and and I'll get back to that later, and I did some administrative things, and the team was ministering and everything, and when they were ministering, I was still focused on this woman, and I felt that the Lord was telling me she's grieving the loss of her husband. And when she came up, the other team members were prophesying to her, and they were dancing all around that. And so when I got to her, I didn't prophesy to her the way that we have been taught to prophesy. I simply looked at her, and I said, "You're grieving a deep loss." And she said, "Yes," and she began to cry. And she said, "It's my husband. This is the first time I've been back here without him." And so I just ministered to that grief. I just ministered to it. Because that has become my focus, and it is a shift within me, and I will tell you that I have changed the way that I approach prophecy. Because I've been doing this for almost 30 years. And there was a time when it was more important that I prophesy than who was standing in front of me. And I went through a deep grieving when the God revealed that to me. And so no longer is it about me prophesying. It is about the person standing in front of me, and Lord, what do you want to do in them right now? And sometimes it's thus saith the Lord, and sometimes it's not. I do not worry about that anymore, because my focus is on that person, not about me. And so it becomes, Lord, what do you want to do? That is the purpose of every spiritual gift. No matter what it is, that is what the Holy Spirit came to do in us and through us. So we haven't talked about really what prophecy is, and I'll talk a little bit about this in other terms. Basic definition of prophecy is speaking a message from God in a known tongue. So it's not tongues or interpretation of tongues, in a known tongue to a group of people, which is the corporate prophecy. You heard one this morning. Or to an individual, which is a personal prophecy, which is what we do on Friday night and other times. Okay? Now, I want to say something about this, because we hear this word prophecy and we look historically at the way we have been trained and we get it in our head that's what it has to be. And I'm here to tell you that is not what it is. It may work on a Friday night. It may work on Sunday morning when we minister to people. But in each one of our lives, it goes much, much deeper and much, much more powerful than that. It is just what I said. When I run into an individual, what does God want to do in their life? The end of August, I was up in Minnesota, and I was some training for Love, Inc. and that kind of stuff. And I was in a group where we were talking about a program called Redemptive Compassion. And there was a young lady, 30-ish, maybe plus or minus 2 years there. And she shared something, and as soon as she was sharing, God began to speak to me about her. Because what she shared was a depth that was beyond her years. It was incredible the way she expressed how she handled a person in grief. I don't know what her name is, okay? So I said, okay, God, I hear this. I don't know what to do with it. I'm certainly not going to interrupt this meeting to speak to her or whatever. And the meeting ended, and I was talking to a few other people, and then I left and walked by the tables that they had set up to where we had lunch, and she's sitting right there by herself. And so as I walked by, and I stopped, and I said, may I share something with you? She said, yeah. I didn't say, thus saith the Lord. I simply said, I see a gift of compassion in you that is far beyond your years, and that what you shared in there was so deep, and that God is going to use you in a mighty way in that area. She didn't say anything. I said, and I left. So at the end of the conference, we're walking out to the parking lot to the car to leave, and all of a sudden this car, which is coming this way, and all of a sudden it slows down, rolls down the window, this same gal, hi, and then she says, thank you, and blew me a kiss. And that was it. That was life-changing for her, what I said to her. Did I know how life-changing it was going to be? No. But when she stopped, I saw something else that I hadn't seen before. Didn't have an opportunity to speak to it, but apparently didn't need to. Didn't need to. That's how the Holy Spirit works. Is that prophecy? Yeah, that was a form of prophecy. It's simply whatever God is bringing up inside of you that you see, that He shows you about other people. And it doesn't matter where they are. It has to be a situation that you're not drawing attention to or disruptive. I said, Lord, if you want me to speak this to her, you're going to have to set the situation up. And boom, bam, it was there. Okay? So open yourself up to how the Holy Spirit can reveal to you what is good in somebody else. What is good? Because this is not about criticism. It's not about correcting. It's not about saying, hey, you're screwing up. It's what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, here's another one that a lot of you won't like, and I can't do anything about that. For you can all prophesy. Everyone in this room can do it. Everyone. I want to tell you something. Don't ever think you have to do it like me. Don't ever think you have to do it like somebody else. It has to come through who you are. It has to come the way He has made you. It can come in different ways. But it all is God. It all has power to transform. And I'll share one other thing. When I got into this, yeah. You want to know something? There are still times. I'm thankful for those times. Because it reminds me exactly where it's coming from. It's not me. When I talked about that issue of it becoming more about me, I had become too comfortable. I had become too comfortable in who he had made me to be at that point in my life. We have to reach a place in our lives where we're willing to be uncomfortable in order for God to grow us. We have to be able to be willing to struggle to be who he created us to be. Because the world has done a really good job putting a lid on who God created you to be. And it takes courage to say, I don't want to be that way anymore. And then we get to have the process of walking that out, which is really scary. I'm walking into places today that I'm thinking, God, what are you doing? I have no clue. But I want to tell you the other side of that. I am more free in my life than I have ever been. Are there struggles? Yep. Do I get myself in trouble with relationships? Yep. And if you were here when I shared my history, you'll understand why. Okay? But the reality is I have made a decision. I will put myself in the hands of the living God. Because he knows me. And he is for me. And he will do what he needs to do if I allow him to be who he created me to be. And I have discovered that even through the struggles, that is more satisfying than anything else has been in my life. Allow him to work, even when you don't understand what the future is going to look like. Methodology is not critically important. Absolutely not critical. You want some scripture for that? Jesus didn't do everything the same way. He didn't use the same method. Why do we think we need to use the same method? Because I feel comfortable when I'm in control. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Because I want to get into what is more critically important. And it's that. That's what's critically important. Do you realize that God can use my mistake if I'm operating out of that? I learned that when Deb and I were doing the arts. And we would do and minister a song, not only here, but particularly in Ukraine. I've got time. We may go a little long today. You can leave whenever you want. But in the Ukraine, we were there to take the ministering arts there, the dance there. And there was one conference and I ran into, we went with the Burkettes, and she introduced me to a pastor over there. She said, I want you to meet this pastor. And he said, oh, what do you do? And I told him, and he looked at me and he said, I don't believe in that. I simply said, that's okay. You don't have to. So afterwards he came to me and he said, when you picked up a crown and you danced on that stage with that crown, it was as if you were laying before the Lord. Now, I never laid down. I stood on my feet just like this the whole time. And he said to me, I have changed my mind. You be the demonstration of the love of God. If I, before that, had tried to convince him, I think I would have put a wall up for him to see what the Spirit of God was doing. Don't put walls up in people's lives. If they don't like something, it's okay. Not about you anyway, whether you like it or not like it. It's about what God is doing within their life. And the only way they're going to accept what God is doing that is different or allow God to transform them is to feel safe and love. Safe and love. And then they're going to be free to be who they are, that they can feel like, I can take some bricks out of my wall and let you see who I really am, which will allow God to begin to work in their lives. But we've got to become safe people, and we've got to become loving people. It's been a hard lesson for me. A hard lesson. But earnestly, this is 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about spiritual gifts. It's where we talked about the list of gifts, and it goes through all the giftings and all that kind of stuff. This is the last verse in chapter 12. But earnestly desire the best gifts, spiritual gifts he's talking about, and yet I show you a more excellent way. What comes next in the scriptures? Chapter 13, the love chapter in 1 Corinthians. Look what's after chapter 13. In 14, it starts out, pursue love. And then, desire to prophesy. And 14 continues about speaking in tongues and gifts and all kinds of things. Right between two chapters on gifts of the Holy Spirit sits the chapter, it's more important to love. I am a firm believer from the experiences of my own life, the only thing that will change and transform a person is love. And it's not my love, it's His love that flows through me. And I've got to reach that place. So I should have told you this in the beginning, and I forgot to. And we are right at 12 o'clock. But if anyone has a question, I'm here to take questions. As part of what I wanted to do, if there's any questions, and it doesn't matter what it is, and I know you're sitting there thinking, but I'm going to look stupid. I don't care. If you think you're stupid, I don't think you're stupid. He certainly doesn't. But is there anyone that has a question about anything about the prophetic or the Holy Spirit? I'm willing to take it. I don't, you know, it may challenge me. That's okay. Anybody? Anybody? Okay. Oh, there is one over here. Ah, yes, Tina. Hold on, I'll get over here.
So I'm struggling with the fact that, the whole love thing, that I feel like love is not always ushy, gushy, mushy. And so that, like, what is love? Like, love doesn't always say you can do this or that. Sometimes love says no. And where's that boundary? I'm struggling with that. And the other thing is, back in the old days, they prophesied. And they, like, God would give kings, or they would give them words to deliver, and it wasn't always pleasant words. So can you help me understand that? And then that
all right, we'll give that a whirl. There's a difference between human love and God's love, and it's true. The scripture says that we are what? Not punished, but disciplined. Okay? That there is that element in our life, that because we are children of God and He loves us so much, there will be that realm of where we come under a godly discipline. It's not, no, biblical love is not always ushy-gushy. But biblical love is never judgmental. And that is the huge difference. We can do nothing that will change the love of God for us. And that's what we have to remember. And he does not bring, I don't want to say, all things work to good. That's a scripture that we hear and we ascribe to until it happens to us. And then we want to run away from it. I want to run away from the hard things in my life. Because I don't want to go through it. But if I don't allow myself to go through it, I'm never going to understand the purpose of God in it. He is in the ditch with me. He is there. In fact, he was there before I got in the ditch. In fact, he's probably waiting for me to get in the ditch. He doesn't cause the ditch. Life causes a ditch. Life in an ungodly world causes the ditch. But he is there waiting when the ditch happens to say, hey, I love you. I want to use this to transform you into more of my likeness that my love can flow through you. If you position yourself in this struggle with me, it will happen. If you fight it, we'll go around the mountain again. Okay. I want to answer Tina's question one more time. Old Testament prophecy is not the same as New Testament prophecy. The Holy Spirit was not given to every individual in the Old Testament. God chose certain people to put his Spirit into that he could work his purposes for Israel in the Old Testament. So when you read Old Testament, do not bring it into the New Testament. There is a dividing line between those testaments, and it's a critical dividing line that is the cross. You read the New Testament through the cross. Do not read the New Testament through the Old Testament. Now, what I mean by that is the Old Testament will point to things in the New Testament and vice versa. But I cannot interpret the acts of God, which appear to be violent, bloody, angry. I cannot believe that the God changed from Old Testament to New Testament. There's a different story there, and I don't have time to get into that. So, if you're willing, I want you to stand up for an activation of an impartation of the Holy Spirit and the giftings within your life. Lord, there is so much that you have for each and every one of us. And it's so difficult to realize that we don't have to earn that. Because it's a world we live in. Bring understanding and revelation to each individual here, Lord, that they don't have to earn anything from you. It is already given, already purchased by the cross. And Father, right now, the Holy Spirit, I activate it and I call it forth in each individual here. Holy Spirit, come. Show yourself to them. Show yourself in ways that they can understand. Show it, Lord, that it not only changes them, but changes those around them. that we begin, Father, to hunger and thirst for the Spirit of God to be manifested in us and through us. That the reality of your gift at Pentecost was a price you paid for us. Father, I release that to them, everyone, the way that you choose, Lord. The way you choose, Lord. Not the way, Father, that they see somebody else. Not even the way they think it should be, but the way you want it to be. I thank you that for every person here, Lord, that they will go from this place with a knowledge that the Holy Spirit has been activated in their lives for their good and the good of others. I seal it to them in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who came in the flesh. Amen.